Chrissy Swan, Sam Pang and Jonathan Brown are made for Melbourne. The Chrissy, Sam and Brownie Podcast.
Welcome to your podcast. What is better than one look at Brownie's big red book? Two looks.
Looking at photos of Belinda Carlisle.
Man, wasn't she strong?
Jesus.
Also,
Sam played Dance Floor Fillers today.
Correct.
And Belinda Carlisle made it.
She featured.
Tell you what, she had a couple that could have made it too. Summer Rain and... Live Your Life Be Free. Another underrated one I forgot to mention, Mad About You.
That was my favourite. Wow. That's my favourite one of hers. And the film clip was a black and white, I want to say Herb Ritz. No, Bruce Weber directed it, who was a big photographer at the time. And it featured her incredibly beautiful husband, who is the son of a very famous Hollywood star.
No, follow that.
As always, just ticking the boxes for the younger demographics.
Hey, so we took two looks at Brownie's Big Red Book and they were heaven. Gary Megan from MasterChef popped in. What a gentleman.
Good man.
He's a good man.
Solid man.
Yep. He is a solid man. Dylan Lewis. Oh, what a darling.
And also I update you on Monty the Weatherman, the old weatherman from Channel 9, just where he currently, well, what his life's all about.
He's on his second marriage. Spoiler alert.
Enjoy the podcast.
Chrissy, Sam and Brownie. Made for Melbourne. Nova 100.
Good morning, Melbourne. It is 7 o'clock on the arched window clock. And that means that Sam Pang is here.
Yeah,
welcome,
good morning.
Samuel.
Good morning, Melbourne. Good now morning, everyone.
Well, this is our second last day, our penultimate day, and we are running down the clock. We're all having a crack at each other's segments,
yeah,
aren't we?
It's not tools down here.
No,
so right. I've been busy preparing a dance floor filler, Jonathan.
Oi,
your very first.
Out.
My very first. And yeah. It would probably be my last too, by the way. Took up most of yesterday.
Can you give
got to be big on me.
Give us an insight, a glimpse. glimpse on the era.
It's where, of course, you choose a year and then three songs from that year that meant something to you.
I haven't chosen one year, obviously. You know, I've gone a bit rogue. Just an era. Just gone an era. Because it's early. Because these songs, I think, when I think dance floor, the last time I was on a dance floor was when a young man, you know what I mean? Just
Or when a bloke picked up your girlfriend.
We're not telling that story.
In front of you, and then he gave you $20 to pay for the cab ride home.
Yeah, that dance floor filler just would have been I Will Always Love You by Whitney Houston.
Classic Tang.
No, so I've been putting together these songs that, you know, to fill a dance floor. That's the idea of it too.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to give you a little snippet of what didn't make it. This did not make my top three dance floor fillers.
Fellas, fellas,
Shake it.
Shake that healthy
butt. Baby got
back. Mate, so Mix-a-Lot couldn't even get in.
Then what? Wow. What is there left?
Stick around.
That is a good hook.
Thank you.
Chrissy's Moby Disc Dance Floor Fillers.
Are you ready? Go. Yes, here we go. It's a first. Sam Pang is taking over Chrissy's Dance Floor Fillers. This is a segment where we highlight a year, or in Sam's case, an era, and we go through three songs that meant something to us that also filled the dance floor. Tomorrow, Miff Warhurst is taking over.
Zito has just entered the studio too, so you'll be able to see this live.
Also, the idea
not
too.
Not live.
The idea.
Just on stuff.
The idea
no, not
that,
live. Don't panic.
The whole show is not live. We pre-recorded it yesterday. the idea too that if you were a DJ, because like you were a mobile disc jockey, if I had an empty dance floor in front of me, these are the songs that I would go to. Now, you mentioned that they're from an era, because that was the early 90s for me is when I was, describe, I think Mike Sheen described it, Brownie, as doing my best work after dark.
I call it the peak of your powers.
Yes, also some of the venues involved were the Tunnel Nightclub, Bar Called Barry in Collingwood, and up north on a footy trip, Melbourne's.
One of the greats,
Melbourne's.
What, never Warehouse in South Yarra?
Got to Warehouse.
Yes, so did I.
The Motel.
Huh?
Talk H. Oh, my God.
Talk H.
What was that other joint you spoke about in your docker?
Which one, the Bar Called Barry? No.
Mike spoke about it, where you were dancing.
Oh, that was the big three, Sugar Shack, billboard. Actually, the third one was the takeaway joint out the front of the billboard on the way home.
Hey, but how did you fare with the ladies? Because we're talking late teens, early 20s, peak of your powers, Pang.
I had some unusual tactics, Swanee.
Tactics?
I used to, there was a couple of things. One is I often would ask a girl to go and dance, right? And then as we're walking to the dance floor, I would let her lead onto the dance floor, then stay. She would go onto the dance floor, realize I wasn't there, look back, and then see me on the sidelines stretching. You know.
You're joking.
Like Merv Hughes in front of Bay 13.
Just with the quad stretch, I thought was very important. I took my dancing seriously. So if I looked at her in the middle and she was laughing, that's a good sign.
That's right.
Often they would just walk off, but that's fine. That's the risk you took, big fella.
Mate, it's a look back that counts.
The other one was the bathroom change. The other one was the bathroom change where I'd ask a girl to dance and then say, I'm just going to go to the toilet, I'll meet you on the dance floor. And then come out with the socks. The football socks pulled into the jeans, the high pant, the top button done up, and the hair parted to the side with water, wearing glasses. Just an old one. These are all
classic.
There if you want them, youngsters.
Mate,
out there.
Dino, why are you writing these down?
Oh, man, wow.
But the other one was...
Are we going to see that tomorrow night, the Christmas party?
Possibly. You won't see this one, though, because this one is now moot.
Oh.
But, you know, in terms of the chat before the dance floor,
yeah.
I would often think, you know, what do you do?
Yeah.
I own a milk bar. If that didn't knock them dead, mate. What's not before when I'd see them very unimpressed. Well, hold on, it's not just the milk bar. It's more like a mixed business. And then I would go into
laundry
next level.
Oh yeah, no, we did dry cleaning. Man, we've got a great deal this week. Three garments for $11.
Small grocery section.
I went. The other one was as a trampoline salesman. And the other one, if I was really struggling, I work in the city. In Collins Street.
Oh,
really? That sounds impressive. Yeah, I work for the Australian Diamond Company. I hand out the pamphlets. I got the big billboard there. And, mate, I got a great boss. He gave me a new Walkman today, so I can just listen to music all day. Mate, it's the best job in the world.
Clearly, you were in pursuit of laughs and not in pursuit of tales.
Otherwise, you would have rolled out Dino's. Cover.
What did Dino go?
Neurosurgeon.
Junior
brain surgeon.
Junior brain surgeon.
Oh, if I'd known that. Oh. But anyway, they were tough to beat.
That's given us a really good insight.
Let's get to the song. So I'm talking about dance floor fillers, dance floor that these are the songs coming. Now, back in the early 90s, there was actually quite a genre of songs that focused on the behind.
Yes.
Now, so Mix-a-Lot's Baby Got Back, we played a little bit of because that seems to be the iconic one.
Anthem.
But it overshadowed, it's tragically underrated song by Rex and FX. Rump Shaker.
Rump Shaker.
All I want to do is zoom, 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 zoom.
And a boom, boom, just shake your rump. All I want to do is zoom, 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 and boom, boom, just shake your rump.
That's right.
Shake it, baby, shake it, baby, shake it, baby, shake it. Man, this would go off at Warehouse. Warehouse.
So everyone goes to Baby Got Back and I Like Big Butts by Sir Mix-a-Lot. But, mate, you're forgetting Rex and FX's Rump Shaker from the album Hard or Smooth. That was a good one.
You just liked it because of that name.
What?
You didn't like the song, you just liked the album.
I love that song. And a good film clip too.
I had totally forgotten. They were twerking before twerking was a thing.
That's exactly right.
Correct.
So that would get them up. But if that song didn't get them up as MC Perspiration over here just tries to get the dance floor filled.
MC Perspiration.
There was a little known artist called Johnny Gill.
Oh! Is it The Floor?
Oh, it's The Floor, Swanee. Oh. Have a listen to this. Pump it up. What about this one? Key change.
Earthquake shakes whenever you move. The word heartbreak describes you.
Johnny Gill.
Oh. What's happening in the studio?
So that would be my second one, big fella.
What about when he goes, like a kid in a candy store, all I need is more.
Grab me a lollipop at the door.
He's having you
don't
put
waste
a,
time, going to hit the floor.
You put a firecracker under Swansea.
Mate, that is, hey, Granny, mate, you were too young to know these too songs, but that is a cracker.
The word heartbreaker describes you. That whole key change bridge bit, I'd forgotten, Pang.
Yeah, mate, that's why I'm bringing it.
Good start, Pang. Well done, mate.
Well, it's almost finished, big fella.
But, oh, no, I don't want it to ever end.
Well, I could give you some honourable mentions, by the way. I know Submix-a-Lot didn't make it. And
you are wearing Mariah Carey's T-shirt.
Correct. Didn't make it.
No.
Neither did Choir Boys. Very stiff, not to make it, because that is an anthem.
Oh, Run to Paradise.
Martika. Young MC, Arrested Development, I tell you, I can't believe Sophie B. Hawkins didn't make the final cup or whatever.
Oh. Damn, I wish I was your
You know
lover.
Why? This lady, this artist, had a dream run.
Mm.
Runaway Horses, Live Your Life Be Free, with some classics, Leave a Light On and Summer Rain.
Oh, my God.
But if you have an empty dance floor, or even if you have a half-filled dance floor and you want them to go to the next level.
Yeah.
And go to the penthouse?
Penthouse.
We're going to the penthouse.
If you want to go to the penthouse, you bring out Belinda Carlisle's Heaven's a Place on Earth. See me in the corner, just give a little bit.
Oh, yeah, here it is.
Only after stretching, though.
Stretching's very important. Hey, that's my community service announcement to all youngsters
out
there.
Absolutely.
Take my stories. I've retired them. They're gone. They're yours if you want. The Australian Diamond Company one is a cracker, by the way.
This is no diary. This is Brownie's Big Red Book.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. A lot better segment than Sam's diary. Don't worry about that. We can delve into the Red Book, and I've gone back early in the season, early in the year, actually.
Yeah.
And we're talking about eateries because, of course, we are blessed with so many great eateries around Melbourne.
Correct.
And there was an article in the Herald Sun, Best Eateries. And we, the regulars got tossed up. Chin Chin. What are some of the other ones?
Viewdemont.
Some of the famous
Attica.
Ones.
Flower drum.
And then Swan throws up Jenny's Hot Bread. Jenny's Hot Bread in Camberwell.
Riversdale Road,
unbeknownst to everyone. Jenny's Hot Bread.
I had not heard of it, big fella.
Well, Swan explains what Jenny's Hot Bread is.
Jenny's Hot Bread, Riversdale Road, Camberwell.
What is it? Is this a bakery?
Mate, Jenny's Hot Bread is the best ever. $3.90. You go in there. You're only allowed to order one of three rolls, the number one, the number two, the number three. The only difference is whether it's got chili or sauce. That's the options. That's it.
Ooh, unbelievable. So
still
obviously,
delicious.
Obviously Sam and myself are scratching our head going, geez, it's amazing how a bakery or Jenny's Hot Bread could stay in business when you've only got three options.
Yeah, just the three options.
We were impressed.
Three rolls and you can only have chicken in them.
We were impressed that they decided that was their strength.
It's a
and
good,
that was it.
Yeah. They stuck with it.
A lean business model.
Yeah, no, it's good.
A lean business model, exactly right. But we also had some input from the callers just to clarify whether Swan was actually delving into the full truth.
Jared from Burwood, hello.
Hi, Chrissy.
Oh, my God, are you mad for Jenny's Hot Bread?
I'm mad for Jenny's Hot Bread and especially their fried rice.
What's your standard order when you get in there?
It is just a fried rice with chili.
With chili?
Hang on.
Chili sauce.
You said it was like a bread. You can only buy bread.
You can get more than that, Brownie.
Sorry.
They've got fried rice as well, but it is fantastic.
Sorry, Jared. Chrissy's just spent 4 minutes explaining you've got three options when you go to Jenny's. You've got three breads with chicken. That's all you can buy.
Details, Brownie.
Yeah, thanks, Chrissy.
Jared, can I just... I want to actually support Brownie here. I don't trust bakeries that sell fried rice.
It's not a bakery.
I think they should just...
But it is an Asian bakery.
It's not an Asian bakery, Jared, and I'm about to hang up on you because we're misrepresenting Jenny's.
Swan not happy. Jared's rang up and called BS on Swan's story.
Some holes in the story very quick, starting to crumple.
We had to give Jared a highlights. is what happened there.
Under cross-examination, you were starting to sweat up.
Stand by.
Oh, really?
It's not a bakery.
You're sweating out your ears, so I know about that, but you tried your best to explain it to both Sam and myself.
Jenny's is this kind of fantasy.
She's
amazing. No one knows. By the way, no one knows what Jenny's is now anymore. Does it sell clothes? Do they attach Lotto? Is there a Bain Marie?
I will not have Jenny's reputation dragged through the
door. Have you got any idea what
Jenny's... Can you get a pizza there? Oh, stop there on the
way. Brownie, I'm pretty sure that Jenny's is a mixed business.
She does rolls and prescription drugs.
You need a Panadine fort. Stop there on the way over, Jenny's.
Jenny's is a it's a small plaza. it's got everything.
You know, they talk about the Campbell Junction. That is Jenny's on Bridge.
Jenny's Campbell the Junction. Fashion capital.
So we're obviously in a state of confusion. This went on for a couple of days. It started on Feb 10th. And we get through to about Feb 13th. And yeah. Who else better to clarify the situation than two of the great artists in the world, better known as Kevin Hart and Ice Cube? We went to interview them, Swan, and instead of talking about their movie, which they've spent millions on and worked hard on, we thought the biggest question in Melbourne at that very time was, what the hell is Jenny's Hot Bread?
If a bakery only sells chicken rolls and occasionally fried rice, mm-hmm. is it still a bakery or is it a chicken roll shop?
It's a bakery plus.
It's a bakery plus, okay.
It is a chicken roll shop.
Exactly.
It's a chicken roll shop.
There's no such thing as a chicken roll shop.
Well, it's no such thing as a bakery that only serves one thing.
It's a bakery plus. A bakery plus.
Plus.
A bakery. You put
never
a plus.
Never heard of that.
It's actually bakery minus.
It's more confusing.
No, a bakery plus means it's
so
added
confusing.
Things. It's not confusing.
Go to the bakery plus. What you gonna get? A chicken roll.
No, because they got things that the bakery would have plus a chicken roll. That's common sense. No. That's common sense. It's a bakery plus.
So dumb. That was so dumb.
Kevin had an Ice Cube is still fighting over that.
Still going.
Anyway. But the Hilux needs a service, so I'm dropping it in Jenny's Hot Bread on the way.
Nova, Chrissy Swan, Sam Pang, and Jonathan Brown.
Okay, so get ready.
Chrissy's celebrity stuff.
Who's a fan of Miley Cyrus here? I am. So you're in? No?
Yeah, we are.
Oh, love her. I love her, and I think her voice is extraordinary. One of the greatest voices around.
Oh, she's got good genetics, Swan.
Absolutely.
Daughter of Billy Ray.
She's better than her dad. Come on.
Can you name another single that Billy Ray Cyrus put out?
Apart from Make You Break Your Heart.
Too Legit to Quit, that was his.
You're funny.
Can you?
No.
Wow. We're really pushing to the line this week, aren't we?
I'll just toss it up because I thought Swan would know if Billy Ray Cyrus had another song that people knew.
Oh, look, I'm sure he did, but not here. Yeah. Dolly Parton and Miley Cyrus have teamed up on the US version of The Voice to sing Jolene. Just feast your ears on this.
Jolene, 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 Jolene. Oh, I'm begging of you, please don't take my man.
Wow.
Jolene, 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 Jolene. Oh, please don't take him just because you can.
It's far be it for me to, infringe on your celebrity stuff.
I'm just glad that you're here.
The Dolly Parton is Miley Cyrus's godmother, I reckon.
You are correct.
Hey!
Yes.
And weirdly, me and my Auntie Carmel get together, it sounds exactly like that.
Sure it does.
Mate, me and my godmother.
Finally, Sam contributes to your celebrity news.
God, I wish I had a godmother.
Don't you have a godmother?
No.
I'll be your godmother.
Yeah, you or Martika would have been. That'd be fine.
My godfather's the great Billy Picken, Collingwood legend.
Oh, there you go. Remember that sting, you win, Brownie? Yeah, remember that one of the stuff?
Oh, I thought you liked that, being a former Collingwood player yourself. There you go.
Wow, we are running down the clock. I was going to talk about Mariah Carey. She's been spotted making out with her backup dancer in Hawaii. I was going to talk about that.
Did not see that coming.
Mate, I know. It's sad. I'm here for you. Pangy, we've lost one. We've lost one of ours today.
What do you mean? A death?
Yep.
Oh, no.
The guy that invented the Big Mac.
Oh, I thought it was Dolly Parton after hearing that grab, but anyway.
Come on. I will not have you disrespecting Dolly.
The guy who created the Big Mac.
He's gone. 98 years old. Michael Jim Delegatti. He made the first Big Mac. And he's gone today.
You know, whenever I think of the Big Mac, I think of Coming to America. You remember that?
The McDowell's.
McDowell's? Because they got the Big Mac, but then McDowell's had the Big Mick. The difference was it had two all beef patties, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions, but they had no sesame seed buns on it.
Oh, I miss them both.
Point of difference, mate.
Yeah,
Dylan Lewis. He's a Nova man for Adelaide. But many moons ago, he once hosted the Arias, Pepsi Live, won the first Celebrity Big Brother, and had a show in the 90s called Recovery. It was right after Couch Potato. I just wanted to sing that. But it's the 20th anniversary of Recovery, and that has a special DVD/CD you can buy. Here's Dylan.
Dylan Lewis.
Hi.
A legend of our time and our industry. Thrilled to have you in here.
Aren't you lovely? It's nice.
There's only one Dylan Lewis. There's only one Dylan Lewis.
There's not. There's a sculptor from South Africa who makes bronze animals. He got dylanlewis.com. So I don't have a website. I got a MySpace though, so boom. Boom.
How long has it been since you've been into MySpace? The tumbleweed.
Yeah, no, it's been a little while. I think I checked it recently just to see if there was any more hate on there about the Weezer interview I did on Recovery, which seems to be a recurring theme in my life ever since.
Please tell us about this.
Well, it's interesting that you brought up Recovery then, because there is a DVD CD box set that's just come out just in time for Christmas.
Correct. We just mentioned it in the intro.
Thank you. I love that intro. It was awesome.
How did you
just
forget?
Thought I'd reiterate. You know, in advertising, you say it three times and people remember.
Correct.
So this DVD CD box set from Recovery is a great stocking filler. It's a lovely little taste of the 90s. It's nostalgic.
Wonderful.
What was the best song on Recovery?
I'm sure there was a question before that, but I can't remember.
There was. It was Weezer, the Weezer interview.
Oh, no. Why do you bring that up
all
the time?
You did.
Yeah, no. Okay. I'll get back to your question, if that's okay, Brownie. The Weezer interview was a horrible moment. Let's start with a horrible moment. Get out of the way.
Do it.
And then never talk about it again.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was just a bad interview. And that happened because it was live TV and it was the morning time and there were bands and there were rock and roll. And so they were tired, which means they hadn't been to bed. Or they were wasted a lot of the time.
Okay.
They had 12 pots.
Well, and let's put it that way. And so the Weezer interview was bad and the dude hated talking to me and he just seemed like he wasn't there. And then afterwards, I'm like, thank God that's over. I never have to relive that again. And then YouTube was invented and someone put it up there and then 200,000 people hated me. And then there was a website created saying the reason why Weezer won't come and visit Australia is this guy with a picture of my face.
No.
So, yeah, I'm nearly over it. I'm seeing people about it.
Is that interview on the box set?
No. I requested it's never to be seen again.
But don't worry. According to Dylan, you can get it on YouTube,
you can
see that.
Hey, you can watch it.
We'll get to Brownie's question in a minute. I've got a question for you.
Sorry, your question was a bit boring, Brownie.
It's been bumped.
Was that? I would have, considering all the elements involved in your show, early morning, rock, pop, musicians, is it amazing that it didn't happen more often, Dylan? Or did it?
It happened, people being bad at being interviewed and with a bad interviewer. Yes, it happened all the time. I went into that job as an untrained person. I didn't know anything about journalism or the media. I was a trained teacher who had never taught and I played in bands, so I loved music. So I didn't really know what I was doing. So that was just fraught with danger. The producers, who you know, Sam Pank, because one of them is your producer for the Eurovision.
Yeah, Paul Clark, a legend. Very talented man.
Yeah, so they apparently knew what they were doing and they loved the anarchy and they just embraced it. And so, yes, all the time there was people who were tired and emotional and the bands would have to get in there really early, like 5.30 or 6 to start doing their sound checks.
Nice.
And so lots of them hadn't been to bed and lots of them we had to sort of just help along the way. I had sake under the table, which I'd offer to people, warmed to the correct temperature. Thank you.
So thoughtful.
It's so 90s. It tasted horrid.
Didn't care of the dog. Who was the drunkest/ drug-affected act that ever came on the show?
Well, I found out years later that the dude from Weezer was affected.
Right, okay. Yeah. So it wasn't your fault.
Yeah, and it wasn't beer.
No.
No.
What was Brownie's question?
The best act on Recovery.
Great question, Brownie.
I thought so.
Yeah. How do I remember my lines? Is he going to ask that one? There was so many, and they're all featured on this fantastic CD, DVD. Why am I even plugging that? I don't even get any royalties from that.
Seems an odd decision.
But it is. I have favourites, but it's, you know, it's up to you as to, you can choose your favourite one when you take this home and watch it when you borrow it from me.
It is an excellent.
Yeah, there's four CDs.
Yeah, it's an excellent.
It's two CDs and two DVDs. I loved when Silverchair came on because it was such a beautiful time in their career where they were just blowing up and
Frog Stomp,
exactly.
Wow.
And they were just little children with long hair and a lot of attitude, and they were so cool. And when they performed, they were really always really giving, and they were so big when they came on, but they agreed to be a house band instead of like a main act, which was really cute. And they came on and they did all the little stings in and out of breaks and stuff like that. And then at the end of one of the shows they came on, I got to perform with them. They said, come and play harmonica with us. And I had no idea what I was doing.
That's cool.
It ended up being just a really cool moment on recovery.
And now you watch Ben Gillies on Real Housewives of Melbourne and think, how the mighty have fallen. Now, Dylan, you are one of my favourite people in the whole world. Would you please do me the honour of going up against me in the final word?
Oh, God. It's a bit nerve-wracking, all right?
No. Stop it.
We're big fans.
Yeah, I know. I'm picking that up. One of the greatest humans on the planet. One of your favourite people in the world. Yeah.
Are you jealous?
Yeah.
No, I'm just trying to work out how.
Just because you never watched it, mate. You never watched Recovery, did you?
I tell a lie. You might be able to confirm this. I think I watched it. Can you confirm that Ben Harper appeared on Recovery?
Yeah, he did.
There you go. I've seen it.
Was that around Fight For Your Mind time?
Yeah, what a great album.
What a great album.
That was a good album. I'm trying to work out our... I think our relationship is a weird one.
What do you mean?
I don't know.
I love you.
Well, I didn't
we
know
We both
that.
Like Star Wars.
Yep.
Oh, we bonded over that.
Yeah.
Well, we actually had a robust debate about, you know...
Obi-Wan
whether
Kenobi.
Obi-Wan Kenobi should have...
done more for the Sand People against the Sand People.
It was a great chat, wasn't it?
Oh. All right. You,
happy times.
Final word is where I will name a topic.
Yeah.
You and Chrissy Swan will give examples of that topic, alternating until one of you runs out. It's best of three. Final word wins. Does that make sense?
Yeah, sort of. Who goes first?
I do, then you can learn how to learn it from me.
From the master?
Yeah.
I'll be the putter one. Yeah.
Suburbs starting with C. Oh. Go.
Cheltenham.
Chelsea.
Carnegie.
Coburg.
Caulfield.
Caulfield South.
Camberwell.
Oh, God. I can't Google this entire
thing. No, you can't Google it.
I can't Google. No.
No.
Oh, Brownie.
Go to the real estate section, and C is your biggest section of.
Oh, man.
Good fact.
Unbelievable.
Canterbury.
Collingwood.
Croydon.
Collingwood, Carlton. Croydon.
Clorinda.
Ah, Dylan, you're a sweet
look at
kid.
Us. Oh,
I got nervous. You're all looking at me.
I'm going to back you. I'm going to back you with this one. You got to start. You got to lead off.
Me?
Yes, Dylan. Lewis.
You're backing Dylan. Is it weird shit starting with N?
Right. Oh, well, I won't do that one then. No. Types of hairstyles. Go.
Mohawk.
Mullet.
Short back and sides.
Nice.
Crew cut.
Fade.
Number 2.
Oh. Number 2?
Are we paying that?
No.
Is that a...
No, you know, the
shaved on a number 2? I think that's the same as a crew cut, isn't it?
Yeah, I think you're right.
No, I don't think I'll allow that. No.
By the way, I didn't know what a fade was, but Dylan said it with such confidence. I was like, no worries.
I got one yesterday.
Yeah. What is that? What's a fade?
It's when you go up from a 1 to a 2 into a little bit longer on the top.
Yeah.
It's pretty hipster.
It's 1-1.
Lords of the North, go there.
Come on, Dylan.
It's 1-1.
1-1.
It's one of you going to start off. Sorry about this. Australian fast bowlers, past or present? Yes. Come on, we've mentioned heaps. Go.
My specialty.
Merv Hughes.
Joel Garner.
Sorry.
Alan Chrissy's, Border.
No, Chrissy Swan, you win.
What?
Australian fast bowlers, Joel Garner.
Yeah.
Incorrect.
Chrissy wins!
What? Yeah. But his reaction was so... would say he reacted with such confidence.
Did you...
Great fast bowler, but West Indian.
Yeah. No, he came to Australia.
Yeah.
We adopted him as our own, if you remember.
I didn't... You might have misheard me. I said Australian fast bowlers, and you might have heard fast bowlers that have ever been in Australia.
Yeah, that's what I...
Hey, Dylan Lewis, as usual, an absolute delight. Released earlier this month, the CD-DVD box set of recovery. Wowzers. Great Christmas present.
Yeah, great Christmas present. I'm telling you, that could be the worst answer in the history of final words.
Thank you. I love you.
Get more Chrissy, Sam and Brownie on Facebook and Instagram. Made for Melbourne. Nova.
Morning, Melbourne. A little bit past 8 o'clock and we're all here for you. Chrissy, Sam, Brownie and Dino.
Present.
All here for you is an interesting phrase to use considering what happened yesterday on the show. And I'm not sure the big fella was there for you when you were having this little chat about movies in the 6 o'clock hour.
Okay. Lupita Nyong'o, who won the Oscar for 12 Years a Slave, which I didn't see because I was never in the mood.
What's it about?
Any, just if you had a guess, big fella, what would you think it would be about? Do you think what?
Slavery. I want to know which part of history is slavery.
Really? What? 12 Years a Slave, what's it about? What do you think it was about? Going to school?
She knew what I meant.
Marriage? Playing for the Lions? Working at Nova? No. What do you think it was, mate? Jeffrey Edelson, being in a relationship with Jeffrey Edelson? What do you think 12 Years a Slave was about, big fella?
About us having to sit through celebrity news every day.
Say he's on MasterChef and he has a restaurant called The Boathouse in Maribyrnong. I just did. But I really can't introduce Gary better than when George Columbaris did in Season 3, Episode 49 of MasterChef.
Hey, Gary!
here's Gary.
They're coming!
Hey, Gary!
What's that?
Hey, Gary.
Hey, Gary!
What season was that?
Three.
I can't even remember three. That. All I remember is Junior MasterChef and George getting dressed up as Santa Claus, right? And he had a big beard and he was a bit chubbier back then, so he fit the part really well. And the producer was telling him to put on a different accent because he didn't like his kind of, you know, Greek Mulgrave twang.
Mediterranean so, Santa.
And I think he took his earpiece out, not in front of the children, and lobbed it, spat it and walked out. So it was grumpy Santa George. We do remind him every so often.
Grumpy Mediterranean Santa. Now, we caught up on a boat recently.
Yeah,
how
we did.
Up yourself does that sound? So I was seated next to Gary.
We got a special invitation, Curtis Stone, essentially.
Yes.
He wasn't there. So it wasn't really that special,
hold on.
Was it?
Was that the same boat? Hold on, you kept that quiet.
Was it the same boat that Steve Price was on?
Yes, it was.
So and he was sitting, we had a nice chat, didn't we? Food was delicious.
You and I did. Steve was cranky because we had to do a tour before we had to earn our lunch.
Yeah, but the tour was the best bit. The only reason I went on that lunch is because I wanted to have a look at the galleys, which are the kitchens. And the actual kind of the kitchens themselves run almost the whole length of the boat, but down below. I've never seen anything like it.
Are they
feed
small?
Small? No, my goodness. 3,000 passengers and crew they feed.
Wow.
Not just three times a day. So that is just incredible.
You know,
I've never
going.
Seen anything like it.
Never seen anything. You know what else you've never seen on that boat is Curtis Stone, apparently.
It's not in his contract.
What about that invitation from Curtis Stone? He's not even there.
No.
Are you kidding me?
His parents were there and his sister and brother, I think.
Yeah, still not Curtis,
though,
isn't it?
Well, that's what the invitation should have said then.
Yeah.
Come and
meet Curtis's parents.
So tell
imagine ringing your mum and dad and saying, look, I'm launching a restaurant. I'm not going to be there. Could you go and look after the
I was not expecting Curtis, were you?
Oh, no, why would you?
I want him to be there. Look, I know he's a very successful, wealthy man, lives in Hollywood, but, you know, come on. Remember your roots. Come on, Curtis.
Hey,
you ever done time on a boat?
No, I couldn't do it. A lot of chefs do. I mean, guys that work for me, actually, there's one particular guy went to the Mediterranean to do one of those, you know, 6 months as an Aussie working on a yacht. 13 years he's been there, loves it. You know, he's worked for Abramovich and all these big guys. And the story tells me, but it would drive me insane. Insane.
Would it? What? Just not
well,
being
can't
able
get
to,
off.
Yeah.
And actually, even when it's even when we went on the ship, I mean, amazing.
Yeah.
But you can't get off, and they dock in Melbourne for a day.
Yeah.
And you see them all roll off and then roll back on. Some interesting characters.
Yes, there were.
Yeah.
Big news today. Marco Pierre White.
Oh.
Well, Marco Week was pretty much the highlight of our year, was it not, Sam Pang? Marco Week on MasterChef.
Was it? Come on, you're building it up.
Was he actually there or was it like Curtis Stone? Was Marcus White,
parents.
He wasn't.
Please welcome Marco's parents.
Marco's
he apologises he can't be here, but they're going to be really mean. Do you think?
Well, we love him here in Australia, and he is going to be on a TV show next year, but it's not going to be MasterChef.
Yeah.
It's going to be the new Hell's Kitchen, made famous by Gordon Ramsay. Seven.
Yeah. They've done that before, haven't they?
What? Oh, are you suggesting that My Kitchen Rules is a rip off of MasterChef?
I don't know what you're talking about. They love cooking shows, Channel 7. They love it. Now, you know what? I think Marco's been part of the MasterChef family for many years, but we've got big plans this year. We've got lots of stuff going on, and we're going in a slightly different direction. So it's okay. And Marco can still come round for tea and sandwiches if he wants.
No hard feelings?
No. He's part of our industry, don't forget.
You're not going to flambe him?
And he is slightly bonkers, and we do like that.
He's a proper chef.
Do you think, Gary, just for devil's advocate, I know you wish him all the best and you don't really care because MasterChef's, you know, it's a giant and all that, but do you think, though, that in hindsight that Channel 7 should have contracted him and shored him up before us? No, sorry, that Channel 10 should have contracted him so that he couldn't go anywhere else, Gaz?
No, because we don't need that, do we? I mean, look at the breadth of talent. No, look at the breadth of talent on the planet today as far as food's concerned, and even in Melbourne. We're a world leader. They can come in and out of the family.
I've got a little tip for you, Gaz. Don't book Curtis Stone to replace him.
No, because he's
probably not going to roll up.
I'm just letting you know that.
I've not checked that this year. He's actually on the little monitor as we look, Curtis. That's as close as we got, wasn't it?
Correct. It's an intimate audience. Stick around, Gags. We've got more to talk about.
Hey, Gary! From MasterChef.
Still makes me laugh. Hey, you know what just happened there?
You all turned into
Gary, Matt and George. Because we've just been talking for what? How long was that song? 3 minutes.
Three or four minutes.
We've been talking food. Like non-stop. Boom, boom, boom. And anchovy and onion pasta from you.
Yeah.
Yes.
Sammy. I'm excited.
I'm telling you, it's one of the greats, Gaz. It's one of the greats. It's an Antonio Calluccio recipe that I said to Gary, I can't believe I made this pasta. I made it originally because I looked at the recipe and I thought, there's nothing in that. How can that be pasta?
How can it be tasty?
It's beautiful. Oh, it is unbelievable.
Simple things.
Well, Gaz was saying, if you're an up-and-coming chef or wannabe chef, specialise in one thing. Sam goes, my specialty is pasta.
Yep, so we now got to find a speciality for brownie.
What's yours, son?
Come on, you're a good cook.
Cake.
Come on, come
on. The go-to.
She's thinking about it too much.
We're coming around tonight. What are you cooking?
With sausage and bread.
Come on,
I don't deal very well with pressure. With kitchen pressure.
There's levels of sausage and bread.
The triple-decker cake you make is the best cake I've ever eaten.
I do.
That
is a great cake, but I'm not a baker. I'm more of a cook. My sister's really great at baking. She's got that kind of pedantic, you know, whereas I'm more
throw it around, taste stuff.
What's that coconut one?
The coconut cake. Yeah, it's a triple layer coconut cake.
See, anything with triple layers, now you get excited.
As a main.
What's in between the layers?
As a main, though, that's a big statement, Jim. I mean, to serve that up as your main.
I'd eat it as a main. You'd end up with diabetes by the time you finish.
Right, now we're really talking some rubbish, aren't we?
It's good on the tooth. Hey, let's talk about Gary's amazing ebook and how it happened.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I think I've 4 cookbooks.
Yes.
And the cookbook world is changing. And they're like magazines now. People just go and buy them, you know, and they stick them on the table and then chuck them in the bookshelf.
Yeah.
And they don't really use them.
That's
I've got loads of cookbooks, but I don't read them. It's a real shame.
Yeah.
And the other thing with MasterChef being in, I think it's in about 140 countries, ridiculously.
Yeah.
And we get requests all the time. I'm Portuguese, can we get your book, you know? Or I'm Venezuelan, can we get your book? And they can't.
No.
I mean, our books tend to be exclusively in Australia and New Zealand. And to ship them, it costs more to ship them than it does for the book itself. So I thought, you know what? I'll release 15 recipes, my favourite kind of stuff that I like to eat at home. $1.89 or something. So
can
it's
use
less than
like
a coffee.
An app?
Jeez.
Yeah. And then my plan is that then if there's difficult bits in the recipe, there'll be little go-to bits where you can press and here's the hard bit and Gaz show you how to do it.
So good.
Wow. So
how do we get it?
And then
though?
Of course we released it. Oh, you just go to iBooks.
We're
going to release it. All the Android users, don't know why you still are, but we're going to release it so you can download it too. And
it's called Undercover Cook.
Undercover Cook. Basically, there's no kind of sexy photograph on the front. It's just like a little sketch of pots and pans, and there's some beautiful recipes.
iBooks.com is where you want to go. And
I love it. I'm getting that. That's right up my alley.
Are you going to throw the big news at Gary? You're probably breaking it.
This news, yeah, I am.
You're waggling stuff around.
Oh, my goodness.
What are you waggling around?
Well, you know, don't shoot the messenger. But we've lost one of our own today, Gary Megan. Michael Jim Delegatti, who made the very first Big Mac.
Wowza.
has died in Pittsburgh today.
Age 23? I shouldn't joke, should I? That was terrible. 98.
We hardly knew
98.
Him.
98.
Was he a big fan of kale and toasted barley? What?
He made it to 98.
Didn't he?
And he's doing well. What do you think the secret of the Big Mac is? I mean, what a legacy. What a legacy.
So what, run us through it.
The ingredients?
Yeah.
Well, I could, but...
It's iconic. Double patty, that's for sure. Small beef patty, special sauce, lettuce, cheese,
pickles, onions on a sesame seed bun. 10 points for getting sesame seed bun in there when the syllables really didn't fit.
Amazing.
What is the key to it? I'm going to say it's the diced onion, that translucent onion.
It's the sugar. What are you talking about? It's the sugar and salt. Seriously, it's addictive.
Have some respect for the dead, for God's sake, Gary.
He just worked it out. What a clever man.
He worked it out.
Look, everybody knows. It always makes me laugh. Everybody laughs. You accuse the fast food. It's the fast food's problem. It's you. You choose whether or not to eat it or not. I think he was a very clever man. I mean, Jesus, it's iconic.
Gary,
it would be not like Elvis, known all around the world. We shouldn't eat them every day.
But today we will.
Me and Pang will be walking down the first today eating a Big Mac in honour.
You'll be kicked off.
Get Gary's ebook, Undercover Cook, as we said, available on Apple's iBook store now. I think we'll leave the final word to one George Columbaris.
Hey, Gary!
Nova, Chrissy Swan, Sam Pang and Jonathan Brown.
Okay, so get ready.
Chrissy's Celebrity Stuff.
Breaking a local news. Steve Jacobs, the weatherman, who seems to have been on the Today Show for 25 years.
After Monty.
Yes. Yes, I do.
What does that mean?
Monty was the weatherman before Stevie Jacobs.
What was Monty's story?
I don't think it was. I think it ended well.
Yeah, I don't think it did.
No. It's a very tough gig, but Steve Jacobs is moving to Vanuatu.
Yeah, I'm just going to stop you there. I need a bit more of Monty. Was Monty older?
He wasn't old, but he was older than Steve Jacobs was.
Monty. What was his name?
Monty.
Okay, that's worse than Brownie's was 12 Years a Slave about. But Monty, don't have a surname for Monty?
No.
Don't know where he came from.
One name. He was like a international soccer star.
Yeah.
Or music star.
Yeah, it was like Pele.
Yeah, all right, sorry.
Yeah, and
carry on.
Yeah, it didn't end well. That's all I know. That's the guy.
This is Monty.
Monty Dwyer.
Monty Dwyer, that's it. We'll have to find out how it ended because, you know, what if it was really bad? But anyway.
The Swan's thrown him under the bus. Reckons it's ended badly.
Yeah.
I think it has.
He might have just been happy and walked.
No, I think there was something going on there.
Currently resides in Lake Macquarie. Nothing else.
Detective Brown.
Mate, the guy Columbo over there just nailed that one, didn't he? Oh, mate, case closed, big fella. Hey? Case closed.
Currently resides in Port Macquarie.
He's
nothing
divorced.
Else.
He's divorced and then married his high school sweetheart second time round. There you go. I'm glad you're listening right now. It's going to make your day a hell of a lot better. Knowing where Monty Dwyer lives and he's only seven married.
Can you please get your red book out and your highlighter and write Brownie Reads retired weathermen's bios? That's an entire segment.
Who would have thought, though, that Monty Dwyer, a man I've never heard of, is on his second marriage? I did not see that one coming.
I know, you haven't even got one.
Exactly.
Hey, let's move on to Mr. Boombastic. Now, this is an absolute ripper of a song.
Ooh.
Monty. We love this song here. Do we all love this song here? And we thought, what could make this song even better? And what made it better was we snaffled away guests as they came in. And we asked them to do a dramatic reading of the lyrics from Mr. Boombastic by Shaggy.
Shaggy.
She called me Mr. Boombastic.
It's Peter Hitchener.
Name even. I can't.
Dummy touch him. Me on the back.
She says Veronica's. I'm Mr. Rowe. Manty.
That's Monty Dwyer. if you want to see such luminaries as Luke McGregor, Peter Hitchener, Guy Sebastian, Dami Im, Manu Feldel, The Veronicas, Gina Liano, Sean McAuliffe, Tom Ballard, and many, many more. Please go to our Facebook page now. You will not regret it.
Chrissy, Sam, and Brownie for breakfast. Made for Melbourne. Nova 100.
Hey. Will Smith, he almost featured in my dance floor fillers earlier on.
Did he? Which track?
I liked the one from Men in Black.
Here comes the Men in Black.
Quick, Galaxy Defenders. Don't mind it.
And also, Miami is just a classic.
Classic. If you do want to hear Sam's dance floor fillers, trust me, you do. It'll be on the podcast, which you can get from iTunes. Hey, sad news yesterday. Dolly the magazine axed. Now, probably it won't mean anything to you guys, but as a teenage girl who used to save up her pocket money for Dolly, man, it really hurt me that it's gone. I remember for my, 11th birthday, I got a subscription. What the hell? From my sisters. And it would, it was my very first subscription. And it would arrive every month. And the page that I would go to first was Dolly Doctor.
Can I ask a question? Completely gone or in another form now?
Gone. You know,
gone.
What is it?
Valet Dolly. It's a magazine for young women and children.
It's about 12 years a slave. No, so
what do you mean then? What is it? If you know, it's a magazine.
No, what is it? What's the sort of? What's it about? Is it like new idea? Or is it fashion or is it?
Yeah, it's about how to deal with zits and periods and articles about boys and Justin Bieber probably. You know, whatever teen girls were into at the time.
Nice.
But Dolly Doctor was particularly good because it's a crazy time. When you're a teenager and sometimes you don't want to talk to your mum about all the changes, in your body and your life and your feelings and your brain. And you could sort of write a letter into Dolly and if they published it and they would answer it and it would avoid you having to discuss anything with, with an adult. So it was great. You always went there first. And I've got actually a few examples from Dolly Doctor over the decades. Dolly was around from 1970. And I thought, well, we don't have Dolly anymore, but we do have Uncle Brownie and Uncle Peng.
Jeez.
What are you using my diary music?
Yeah, sorry.
Dear Dolly.
It's got four buttons over there, mate. Yeah.
I've heard that you can damage your reproductive system if you water ski without a wetsuit on.
True.
I don't want to do any damage to my insides. Also, my parents don't know that I've been water skiing. They'll be very angry if I found out. Please help.
So do we have to write back them? Did Dolly Doctor write back to them?
You don't have to write. You can just say now. I'll ask you a question.
So the first bit was, you think your reproductive organs can get damaged by
water skiing without a wetsuit on?
So my immediate reaction would be, what are you, an idiot? But that's
That's your first answer.
That may not be the way to go.
My response would be, well, don't fall off.
See. The yin and the yang.
Man.
Very simple.
Who needs Dolly? Who needs Dolly?
Between the both of us. Motivation to stay up on the ski, Swan. Don't fall over.
And what's the other one about the parents?
Don't worry about that. Okay. I'm 17. Okay. I'm 17. I've been smoking for about 2 years. With all the fuss about cigarettes and lung cancer recently, I decided to stop smoking tobacco and I'm using marijuana instead. What do you think?
Well, it's cheaper.
Maybe I should ask Dino.
Yeah, I was going to say, this is for me.
Mate,
Uncle Dino, what do you reckon?
Nah, don't do drugs.
Mate, they're just we just don't believe you over there, mate, when you say that. Yeah, that's a tough one. Brownie?
I'm not going to go down the answer of that path because that'll get replayed and come back to haunt me forever.
I'm 10 years old and my mum thinks I'm too young to have a boyfriend. She won't let me see my boyfriend, who is the same age as me, and I don't want to lose him or hurt my mum's feelings. What should I tell him?
Well, start smoking marijuana.
And don't fall off your jet ski or your skis.
About a year ago, I had pubic lice.
Brownie?
I was too scared to tell anyone, so I poured lice control dog wash over the area.
You're a bit old for that, Swan.
Yeah. Can you just read from the magazine, please?
Stop reading from your own personal journal.
Damn, they know everything.
Four.
Chrissy's. Obie Disc. Dance floor fillers.
Are you ready?
I mean,
I was up, Swanee. I was up.
My God, it feels like it's taken us all year, but we've found something that you're really good at.
Whoa.
Whoa. The dance floor fillers. Man, you have taken it to another. It's yours. You've done the best one. You and Brownie have done the best all year.
No. It's just that it was a great idea that I wanted to, support you and do one myself. So earlier on, just belted out a couple of the old favourites that if I was a DJ that I'd be putting on the decks to fill a dance floor.
Jeez,
I led with Rump Shaker by Rex and FX. I reckon the dance floor is about three quarters.
I didn't know that one. I'd missed that one. I was obviously a little bit young for
and
that one.
And the whole dance floor would bounce in
unison.
That's
a big bounce, right? So I reckon the dance floor is about three quarters full, right?
Yeah.
Then just to fill up the gaps of the last 25%,
oh God.
I put on the great Johnny Gill.
What?
With the floor.
Oh. Key change.
One of the great key changes. Here it is.
Boom. Earthquake shakes so whenever you move. The word heartbreaker just cries to you.
Tell you what, she does not miss a lyric. This lady. You are unbelievable, Swan.
Pang's not too bad either.
With that one. And then, so now the dance floor is full, right? So it's all there.
Now it's full.
And then, you just, as one, the dance floor would stop and then they would go up as one when this song came on.
Showed us all, didn't she, Belinda Carlisle?
I can see that being your wedding waltz when you tie down Adriana finally.
Rump Shaker. Well, that was what Dad and Mum walked down the aisle to. But a little big fella, tell you what, it was a bit before your time, a lot of those songs, but do yourself a favour and check out a young Belinda Carlisle, by the way.
Very strong. Didn't she show us the power of appetite suppressants?
And on that note, goodbye.
Chrissy, Sam and Brownie. Made for Melbourne. Nova 100.
Good morning, Melbourne. How do you do?
Good morning, Swan and Dino and Melbourne.
Hey, we're all dressed up. Well, not Dino, but you and me are dressed up. What? Why do you look so fancy,
well,
Brownie?
I'm doing a little bit of a shoot as part of Danny Green's Cowards Punch campaign.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, just to try and keep it in the forefront of the youngsters'
Wonderful.
Minds going into the holiday period.
Wonderful.
What about yourself? What are you dressed up for?
I'm filming an ad for cheese.
Really?
Yes. Look, probably not as noble as the Cowards Punch campaign, but guys, cheese.
Hey, there'll be plenty of cheese and crackers go down over the holiday period, Swan.
Mate, I'm into that.
Blue cheese and red wine.
Whoa. Crowbar the cheese company now, or is that not going to fly?
Maybe not yet.
Maybe not yet. I'll tell you what else I'll crowbar, Swan. Last night, Christmas started for us and the Brown family.
Did it.
Down to our Crown Casino for their Christmas show.
Oh,
which
beautiful.
Anyone can go to. It's a free show. It only goes for about 10 minutes.
Perfect. 10
and
minutes.
And it is ideal. You watch the kids run up and down the stairs of the atrium, which is the big entry.
A 10-minute show designed by mums for mums.
Oh, it was beautiful. With a bit of sushi crowbarred in there. It was great.
Chrissy, Sam and Brownie. Made for Melbourne. Nova 100.
Here's what you're waking up to, Melbourne. Time magazine has revealed the biggest earworms of 2016.
Ooh.
And I'm proud to say that this very station plays every single one of them.
Mm.
Because, of course, we focus on the new stuff here. And these are all new songs.
Earworms an old term or a new term, Swan?
Newish, I reckon.
Yeah.
Earworms, they're the ones that get in your head and you cannot get them out. There's a top 10. There's Nash, I Hate You, I Love You. I hate you, I love you. When your three-year-old sings a song, you know it's an earworm.
Oh, yeah.
But this one as well, Lucas Graham, 7 years.
Oh, yeah, that was big mid-year.
Soon I'm 60 years old.
Wasn't Leo your son singing that in the bedroom?
He just
gave it a little bit of extra... A bit of flair.
Correct.
A flair at the end of it.
And wasn't the story that I told him a story about the day that he was born? It's one of his favourite stories. And, you know, we love that story. It's emotional and tender. And after I'd finished telling him, he said, I think this would be a really great time to play 7 Years by Lucas Graham. He was doing the soundtrack to his own life.
Mum, don't move.
He is. He's
teeing up his funeral song. He's 7 years old.
He is the biggest bringer of joy in the known universe. Yeah. Also, what else have we got there? Have we got
Posner.
Posner. Okay, hit it. Sad song. It's got the saddest lyric in it. And now I'm going to tell it to you. You're never going to forget it. I took a pill in Ibiza to show Avicii I was cool. Mm. It is the saddest. Like, who gives a shit what Avicii thinks of you?
Yeah.
Like, Posner, you do your own thing. And you don't care what Avicii thinks of you.
No, that's right. Just charge on.
You charge on.
Charge on. That wasn't a bad song. I can't believe you didn't put Fast Car in there, Swan.
Fast Car was not in the list. Well, Sam it did not make it.
Sam will be very disappointed.
There's lots of others.
That was
his
big song in the first half of the year.
Correct.
Obviously now we're sexual's taken over in the latter half of the year.
Yeah. So we should be sexual.
We should be.
God. Don't be a shoulda woulda. Get in there. All right, guys, now time for a change of pace. We've lost one.
Oh.
We've lost one and we're really sad. Michael Jim Delegatti. Doesn't really mean anything to anyone.
Don't know him.
He passed away at the grand old age of 98.
Good knock.
At home, surrounded by family. In Pittsburgh, this man brought us the Big Mac. The king of burgers. He made it. He created it. What a legacy. It's all, I mean, hold your babies close today because the Big Mac is the king of burgers. And it inspired this song.
To all beef patties, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions on a sesame seed bun. At McDonald's, it's Big Mac time for you.
How long ago was that song?
1850. It actually predates.
It's older than Jimmy.
Michael Jim Delegatti. We salute you.
Oh, yeah.
And you're right, as the jingle says, today is a Big Mac time.
Go and buy a Big
you.
Mac.
Go and buy one in honour of Michael Jim Delegatti today.
We're going to go out on this haunting tune.
All beef patties, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickled onions on a sesame seed bun.
This is no diary. This is Brownie's Big Red Book.
Well, that's right. It is the Big Red Book, Swan. I'm working my way through my little red diary that I keep track of every day our show, and I just insert some little notes in there and some highlights of the show, some lowlights. I've gone back to throughout the year you've learnt about. Now we know that I've got the once in a generation physical gift, Swan. I'm not just a pretty face.
Obviously, we know this.
I'm not just a pretty face. I'm quite schooled in the creative arts. And so I've just gone through the little red book and Swan.
You got gears, Brown.
I've got gears. Don't worry about that.
He's got layers.
Like one of those V8s just purring around the Bathurst. All seven gears. Well, I'll tell you what. First one, Swan. On Friday the 29th of April, I was just going through and you were busy. You were busier than a one-armed bricklayer in Baghdad at this stage of the year because you were filming Great Australian Spelling Bee, of course, on Channel 10. And you weren't spending a hell of a lot of time at home. So I went round and had a chat to your little man, Leo, and I said, mate, I need a partner in crime. I need a partner in crime to deliver this great classic from the famous Top Gun movie where Tom Cruise, his character Maverick, and his wingman Goose get into a song. You never close your eyes anymore when I kiss your lips. And there's no tenderness like before in your fingertips.
You're trying hard not to show it, baby. But maybe.
Baby, I know it.
You've lost that love and feeling.
Just warms into it.
Wow.
Whoa, that love and feeling.
Oi!
You've lost that love and feeling. Now it's gone. 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 Whoa. Ba-dum. Ba-dum. Boom. Boom.
Yeah, that was good.
Yeah, that was great.
Yeah.
You know, when you know, you know.
Oh, he nailed it, didn't he? Just warm into it. The dulcet tones of Leo.
The photograph that went with that still brings a smile to my face.
Oh, in character.
In the white
character.
Shirt and aviators. Yes. The two of you, my darling.
It was beautiful. I'll tell you what, Swan, earlier in the year, we first started on air. This is our first year on air together.
Yes, it is.
And we've developed a wonderful relationship. We spend a lot of time in the car driving to work in the mornings.
Yes.
I didn't really know you early days, so I just wanted to reveal some of my where my poetry skills come from, because I do enjoy writing. And, of course, the great Corker Brown, my grandfather.
You come from a long line of bush poets.
Bush poets, that's right. The dairy farmer from the Otways, he had a secret talent, and that was writing poetry. And I thought, even though our relationship was only new, Swan, I thought you'd appreciate this poem, which I thought he may have dedicated to yourself. Chrissy, are you lonesome tonight? Are your bra straps too tight? Are your corsets just drifting apart? Do you have a big chest, Chrissy? That puts holes in my vest. Does your spare tyre reach up to your heart?
Yes.
Are your stockings all laddered? Your shoes wearing thin? Do you hold up your knickers with a big safety pin? Are your false teeth all worn? Do they drop when you yawn? Well, no wonder you're lonesome tonight. By Corker Brown.
The only thing I'd say is, are we sure that is actually a poem and just not a text message from Brownie?
Honestly, when that first went to air, so many people were like, is that real? How did that happen in the world?
And
you found it. You found it in Corker Brown's story.
I ran into a guy on holidays in Fiji and he found the poem for me and sent it to him.
Unbelievable.
It was beautiful. But Swan, to just finish it off and just complete it, and I tell you what, would not be surprised if they name a room after me at the Arts Centre, Swan. Because we have got singing, we have got poetry. And how do you complete the trifecta?
How, Brownie?
Some of my dance moves.
Triple
and of course,
threat.
Dance floor fillers. You asked me to do dance floor fillers a couple of weeks ago on Thursday, the 3rd of November.
Never forget it.
And I rolled out this classic for you.
So don't delay. Act now. Supplies are running out. Just 2 weeks to run. Yeah.
He's dancing again. This one.
I'll be walking on the sun.
Nova, Chrissy Swan, Sam Pang, and Jonathan Brown.
Okay, so get ready.
Chrissy's celebrity stuff.
Hey, Channel 7 was listening to Marco Week. Obviously, this year on MasterChef, they have poached Marco Pierre White to host a brand new cooking series, Hell's Kitchen Australia.
Yes.
This is going to be awesome. It's going to be awesome.
What's going to be around? What's
are you
the format?
Are you familiar with Hell's Kitchen at all? Gordon Ramsay hosts it in the UK.
What's he do again?
It's had 7 million seasons. Like, it's incredibly successful. This Australian version is going to be a celebrity version. So they're getting, say, 7 celebrities under Marco Pierre White's tutelage, and they have to run a restaurant.
What?
Jeez.
Yeah.
How good's that?
A proper functioning restaurant.
You'd be a perfect candidate for this one.
I would love it, A, because I love cooking, and B, because I love Marco Pierre White. I couldn't trust myself not to have a steaming affair with him, though. I just couldn't trust myself.
Is he a Frenchman?
Yeah. Oh, no, he's English.
English.
He's English, but he's got Italian and French parents. I know that because I Google stalk him. Anywho, so that's very, very exciting, and I can't wait to see who is going to take up the challenge in Hell's Kitchen.
We'll be talking to Gary. This one.
Yes, yes, why?
Well, you don't just have to be very careful. I'd love to see you on it, though.
Would you?
I would love
we'll
to see.
We'll be talking to Gary Megan from MasterChef, who, like, ostensibly discovered Marco Pierre White in this country.
Oh, yeah.
See what he thinks about his defection to Seven. Mm. Kanye West's half-brother, Hal, has said that Kanye West is mentally exhausted from working too hard. Since he started in the business, he's never taken a break or stopped working. And I think there's a lesson in that for all of us.
Yeah, it was funny, you know, when Guy Sebastian was in the other day and I asked him, off air, do you actually have a holiday period?
Mm.
Do you guys get a holiday period?
What did he say?
He said he tries to do it around Christmas, but it is hard because that is an artist's busiest time.
That's right.
Yeah, especially here in this country and all the countries there. So
yeah, that's a really good question.
They don't really get a set holiday, so it would creep up on them, I would have thought, if they're busy.
Absolutely. Good news for Amanda Seyfried, Karen from Mean Girls.
Yeah.
And lots of other films as well, more recent than that. She's preggers.
Oh.
She's up the duff. Let's hear from her.
You want to do something fun? You want to go to Taco Bell?
I can't go to Taco Bell. I'm on an all-carb diet. God, Karen, you are so stupid.
You're not stupid, Karen.
No, I am actually. I'm failing almost everything.
Well, there must be something you're good at.
Put my whole fist in my mouth.
Awesome. Jeez.
Taco Bell, how good's that?
I've never had Taco Bell.
I had to go there every night when we were on altitude camp, and I used to lose that much weight on training. I would have to go for a pre-dinner meal.
Now you're just showing off.
It was unreal, Swan. I'd go to Taco Bell for dinner at 5 and then go out with the team then again at 7:38.
All this talk of Taco Bell just makes me sad that the originator of the Big Mac died.
Oh,
don't talk about it anymore. I'm sad about it. Huggy Baby's close today.
Yeah.
It's the king of burgers. What a legacy.
Go and buy a Big Mac.
It's the special sauce, isn't it, really?
Mate, actually, go and buy two. Go and buy two.
It's a special sauce and those little tiny onions.
Oh.
How do they get those little tiny onions? Actual story, and it's called Kit Saville, the discontinued ruggy, and the immense show of human kindness.
Oh.
So my five-year-old Kit Saville, he is the most beautiful little person. He's my middle son, and right from when he was born, he was really attached to a ruggy. You've probably seen them around. Yeah. We call them ruggies. Lots of people put blankies or binkies or all sorts of different things. But it's essentially a teddy bear's head with like a ghost, you know, ruggy off it.
Yep.
And it's trimmed in satin and it has a satin bow.
Yeah, my little one, Mimi's got one.
She's got
2-year-old.
One.
2-year-old.
Right. My advice to you is stock the hell up because I don't want any mother or father to go through what we've gone through. Now, this child cannot sleep without ruggy, all right? If he hurts himself, he gets ruggy, can't sleep without ruggy. And what we did was we bought them from Baby Bunting many, many years ago. They were Katie Little Brand, and I know this because I've been Google searching. What he does is he gets himself to sleep by winding his little tiny fingers around the satin bow at Ruggy's neck.
Oh.
That's how he does it.
He's got OCD.
Maybe. Have you just diagnosed my son? I have too, with cuteness. Anyway, that's how he gets to sleep, and that's fine. Of course, over the years, the satin bows have become dislodged and become lost. I've stocked up on more ruggies when they were available. You know where I'm going here. They're discontinued.
Oh, jeez.
I cannot get these ruggies again. And so I've thought any ruggie will do. No.
Well, I thought it was a big day when the bloke who invented the Big Mac died.
This is even bigger. Mate, this is worse. So for years, I've been casually searching for this particular ruggie, and I found some on eBay in America. Now, they were $19.99 at Baby Bunting when I bought them.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know how much it's going to cost me for one of these ruggies used from America?
It's gone up if they're out of $50.
$80 delivered.
What?
I can't do it. I just can't do it. So I email the person selling them on eBay and I go, I've noticed that these ruggies are really expensive and I don't know why because, you know, when they were here for sale, they were like $15 US dollars.
Shipping would only be about $15.
Yeah.
And she said, sorry, babe, capitalism. It burns. They're discontinued. Mamas will pay anything for them, and that's why we're charging it. Buy it or not.
Smart.
I said, no, it's not smart. This is like a community service for my son. So do you know what I did? I snapped a Google image that I found, and I put it on Facebook. And I said, this is a weird one, but does anybody have one of these at home? Well, 95 comments later.
Oh, she lit up.
Mothers all over Australia are saying, yes, I think I've got one of these and my son didn't like it. Or I've got one of these, it's probably in reasonable condition, but my daughter doesn't want any more. It's pink. Do you want it? I am getting these Ruggies sent to me and my son from all over Australia in any condition. And they've said the community have got behind.
Well done.
Kit yes. Seville, the discontinued Ruggie, and the amazing show of human kindness. Isn't that amazing?
I've just got one question though, Swan.
Sure, what is it?
What does your man Chippy think about the pink Ruggie turning up for your son?
He's secure and he likes his sleep, so he is going to go with it.
Chrissy, Sam and Brownie for breakfast. Made for Melbourne. Nova 100.
We're doing Chrissy, Sam and Brownie's movie quiz.
Let's get somebody to the brand new drive-in in the city and $500 to spend there. Jindy from Narre Warren. Jindy.
Hello.
You're a bit of a movie buff.
I am indeed.
Good girl. And you love a bit of a drive-in?
I love a drive-in, yep. I've been listening all week and I've got all of them, so I'm hoping today's the day.
Oh, Jindy, I'm hoping so too. All right, put your listening ears on. Do you know this movie? What?
It's a classic,
that's
this
easy.
One.
Easy.
Just think of Christmas, Swan. Come think on. Of Christmas.
Nah, I've got no idea.
Jindy. Oh, my God, I have no idea.
Oh, Jindy, no.
Sorry.
God.
Sam. Sam yeah, from Warburton, how are you, mate?
Yeah, not too bad. I've got no idea.
Oh, Sammy, me neither.
This is easy, Brown.
No, go again, Dino. Right,
how
go
can
again.
You have
go
Pretty
again.
Woman and then this?
Here we go.
Samantha from Roeville, what was
yes.
it?
Home Alone.
Yes.
Yeah, it was.
Mate, she was screaming Kevin, and I didn't hear that the first time.
Exactly.
Well done, Samantha. See blockbuster movies and Melbourne from a different perspective this summer. The Backlot Rooftop Drive-In, blockbusters on another level. By the way, Samantha, you get $500 to spend as well. How good?
Yay, I'm so happy.
We're all so happy.
Get more Chrissy, Sam and Brownie on Facebook and Instagram. Made for Melbourne. Nova.